Welcome to the SEI podcast series, a production of Carnegie Mellon University's Software Engineering Institute. The SEI is a federally funded research and development center sponsored by the Department of Defense. A transcript of today's podcast is posted on the SEI website at sei.cmu.edu/podcasts. My name is Eileen Rubel, and I'm the tech lead for the SEI's Agile and Government team. Today, I'm pleased to introduce to you Jared Ettinger, who is a cyber intelligence researcher at the SEI's Emerging Technology Center. Today, Jared and I will be discussing best practices in cyber intelligence. Welcome, Jared.
Happy to be here.
Thanks for joining me.
You bet.
Can you start by telling us a little bit about yourself and your background and the work that you're doing here at the SEI?
Yeah, sure. So I work in the Emerging Technology Center, which is part of the Software Engineering Institute at Carnegie Mellon University, and I've been there since about December 2015. So the Emerging Technology Center is all about bringing the latest and greatest technology to government and industry. So basically, we have three areas in our portfolio. They're advanced computing, applied AI and machine learning, and human-machine interaction. So my particular area of focus, and while I'm interested in all those three areas, is really cyber intelligence and how those three technical areas influence and impact cyber intelligence now and in the future. I'm also an adjunct instructor here at CMU. I teach a graduate level class at the College of Engineering Information Networking Institute. The class is called the Introduction to Cyber Intelligence. So I teach that class in the fall. So prior to coming here to CMU, what I did is I lived in about 14 years in Washington, D.C., primarily in intelligence community roles, everything from DHS, the National Intelligence Council, and a couple three-letter agencies where I provided intelligence analysis support for operations, offensive operations. And towards the end of my time, it was more focused on cyber operations. So that's what led me to CMU.
Okay, great. Yeah. And now you're leading a study sponsored by the U.S. Office of the Director of National Intelligence to understand cyber intelligence best practices, challenges, and future technologies, correct?
That is correct. So, right. So the genesis of this study actually started 5 years ago, where we the ODNI, the Director of National Intelligence, asked CMU, SEI to do a study on the state of practice of cyber intelligence. So that was 5 years ago, and we produced a publicly available report. You can Google it, anyone can go to it, on what is the current state of cyber intelligence back then, and here's the report back right here, if anyone wants to go look it up. So 5 years has passed, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot happens every day in cyber. So the DNI asked us again, hey, what's going on with cyber intelligence? What's the state of practice? What has changed since this initial report? And what does the future of cyber intelligence look like? And also, are there any public cyber threat frameworks or models out there? So for instance, the kill chain, the diamond model, the ODNI CTF, MITRE's attack frameworks. Let's take a look at those things and see how they're being implemented both conceptually and practically. So basically what this means is we're going to interview organizations. Similarly, like we did for the first study where we interviewed about 30 organizations for that one, we're hoping to redouble our efforts to where we're going to be doing a mixed method study. We're going to go on-site and interview organizations. It could be government, industry, or academia, and also maybe do a online survey, right, to scale up the number of organizations we can hit. And when we go meet these organizations, we sign NDAs beforehand. So everything is anonymized when we go meet with these organizations. And we're basically saying, you know, how do you do cyber intel?
Okay, and based on the initial interviews or the initial surveys in progress from that study, what have you uncovered about current best practices?
We are still in the, you know, I would say early to mid phases of our study. So we're starting to see some initial best practices, and I'm definitely calling them initial because things could change.
Understood.
So I can share with you a few. One of the things that we're seeing is high performing organizations have really, really understood their environment. And so what I mean by that is they really know where their critical assets are, their critical technologies, their people, their data, their patent-pending technologies, the things that they really, really want to protect. And so they know where these things are and who has access to them and how they can be accessed in general. And they understand the vulnerabilities with how people can get that information. So once they know their environment, what they're then doing is going and looking at, well, what threat actors out there would want that information, and why would they want that? And so they're tracking threat actors, TTPs, your tactics, techniques, procedures, their motivations, and simultaneously looking at their critical infrastructure, the technologies that they want to protect, and updating them according to the changing tactics and techniques and procedures of these threat actors. So that's one thing that we're seeing, and that's really working well. Another thing that we're seeing is the ability to communicate to cyber to leadership. While we're seeing largely mixed results on that, there are organizations that are doing it really, really well. For instance, one high-performing organization has a daily call, right, with their cyber intelligence team, their SOC, their network analysts, their database folks, their legal, their HR, physical security, and the CISO is on the line for those calls also. And during these calls, they're talking literally about vulnerabilities, the threat actors out there, and they might even produce a risk score to the CISO. Here's the impact or the vulnerabilities or control score to our organization. So the CISO is getting a briefing, basically every day about what's going on. Another, I would say, best practice or something that we're seeing is that we're hearing from a number of organizations that informal networks is huge. And what I mean by that is that cyber intelligence analysts, they are reaching out to people that they've worked with in the past, their buddies, someone that they've known from other conferences that they've met, or anyone that they know who they trust that could be working in a completely different organization. And they go and they talk to these people and say, hey, are you seeing the same thing? Mm-hmm. They validate information with them. They talk with them about threats and vulnerabilities. They bounce ideas off of these people. And having these informal networks or these peer-to-peer relationships, these people that they trust, is something we're seeing is actually really important, because they might go to these people who they've been worked with in the past or just have that trust relationship and say, hey, since you can validate this, I trust this more than all this other information that's coming in from different sources.
Okay.
The last thing that I would say, one of the things that we're seeing is that when it comes to technology, so those three areas that I talked about earlier, advanced computing, machine learning, human-machine interaction, some organizations are really, really starting to implement that stuff and smartly. The idea behind putting in machine learning into your process to automate cognitive tasks is something that we encourage organizations to do if they can do it. Not in a sense that machine learning is a panacea, but if you could do it in a smart way, then that could be a big win for your organization. So for instance, one high-performing organization that we've seen was able to train, do supervised learning on a model and train a model to basically look at about 5,000, 10,000 articles that were relevant to its own organization. And so the model now, after doing that, spits out twice a day, these are the things that your cyber intel analysts have you focused on. So what typically took about 8 hours to sift through all that information, this ML program is now giving the intel analysts the things that they could focus on. And the analyst can also go back and provide feedback to the model, so it gets smarter each time. Another thing that we're seeing is the idea of applying dynamic topic modeling. Which basically means that if you apply dynamic topic modeling, you can do the analysis on the evolution of topics or unobserved topics that you have seen or think you might want to see. So for instance, I could say, what topics did we miss, right, in the past year? Or what topics should be thinking about in cyber intel relevant to our organizations in the coming year? So that's one of the other things that we're seeing. And also, one of the things that we've been tasked with this study, or kind of implicitly, is to really figure out what does cyber intelligence mean to organizations. I would tell you that there are different definitions out there for cyber intelligence, for cyber threat intelligence, and cybersecurity. And it's a very confusing landscape, and these words are used interchangeably, right? And they mean different things, not only across industries, but within organizations themselves. So that's one of the things that we're trying to get a better handle on. I know in 2013, we put forth a definition of cyber intel in this study. That definition could change based on the things that we're learning. So that's something that we're also focused on.
Okay, and you said that the redoubled study, the new study, is still in its early stages. Are you still seeking organizations to participate in that? And if so, how can they get in contact with you?
Yeah, most definitely. We are still interviewing organizations and would welcome additional organizations. The idea is, and it could be a big or small organizations, we'd like to get a nice sampling across as many critical infrastructures as we possibly can.
Okay.
To get in touch with us, you can reach out to our cyber intelligence team at info@sci.cmu.edu. I'll say that again, info@sci.cmu.edu, if you're interested in participating. And there are benefits to participating. First, it's at no cost, so it's completely free. The other thing is, the benefit is that if you're interested in learning about cyber intelligence, that might be a good way to get involved and start learning that process. So I would say first read this, study the old study, because a lot of it is still relevant. But in terms of us coming out to your organization, we can share with you some of the things in more detail about what we're hearing from other organizations. And additionally, I'll tell you that some of the feedback that we're getting from these interviews is that, hey, the questions that you're even asking us are providing us new insights and perspectives on things that we didn't even think of, that we need now to build into our cyber intel program, or at least a start. So that's some of the benefits of participating. And then we also will probably have a workshop early next year, where all the organizations that participate can come together, meet each other, network. We can talk about some of the major key findings that we have before the study gets published and is publicly available.
Okay, great. So they get some early insight. Mm-hmm. Participating in the process can even give them additional insight, and you're building this community of practitioners to get together and really trade ideas in real time. That's great. So if I am, if I'm the person in charge of security in my organization, what does this mean to me? Why do I need to care about cyber intelligence?
You got to care if you want to protect your organization, right? So you want to proactively get out ahead of the threat actors to the extent that you possibly can do that, but not be on a defensive, not be reactive. So if you know your environment, like I was talking about, if you know where your critical assets are, the things that you really, really, really need to protect, and then start mapping the threat actors to include competitors that are after that type of your information, you're at least taking a more proactive step in terms of protecting your organization. Should anything bad happen, you can say, "Look, we've done this. Like we're making the additional steps, as opposed to just waiting for something to happen to us." So it matters.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to take us back to terminology for a moment.
Okay.
As you said earlier, we're often going to encounter different or overlapping definitions of cyber intelligence, cyber threat intelligence, or even cybersecurity.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a two-part question for you.
Okay.
And the first part is, how is cyber intelligence different from cybersecurity and cyber threat intelligence, and what does it really mean to you?
Yeah. So again, like that's one of the things that we're trying to figure out in our study, because there are all these, like you mentioned, these different terms, and they mean different things to different people. So cyber, I'm going to tell you what they mean to me, right? So cybersecurity is more about protecting your information from preventing and detecting and responding to attacks, right? Cyber threat intelligence, for me, is more about technical telemetry and the analysis of that technical telemetry. And what I mean by that is your hashes, your domains, your malware signatures, unusual network behavior activity, unusual host-based activity, anything from IPs, things that are more technical, is more of that threat intelligence. And cyber threat intelligence tends to try to answer what we like to think of what is happening on my network, how is it happening, where is it happening, when is it happening, type of thing. That is different, at least in my opinion, from the idea of cyber intelligence. So cyber intelligence seems to be, at least for me, a little bit more holistic, right? So it's rooted in that cyber threat intelligence, that technical mm-hmm. data. It tends to take in additional non-technical feeds of information. So for example, it could come from your physical security, your business units, HR, legal, what's happening in your industry, geopolitical events, and it tries to be a little bit more strategic for your decision makers. So if cyber threat intelligence is asking those questions, what's happening on my network, when is it happening, how is it happening, cyber intelligence tries to answer, who is doing this to us and why are they doing it? So it's looking at threat actors, and like I just talked about a few minutes ago, really mapping that to why why would they want to attack you, and so that you can protect your critical assets and IP. So that's how I distinguish it for me. I'm sure there are many people that might disagree with that or have different opinions, and that's okay. That's one of the reasons why we're doing our study. So. Mm-hmm. Those are my thoughts on that.
Okay, great. So if I am a leader in charge of security in my organization, why do I need to care about cyber intelligence? I think you've given me a lot of it.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you want to get beyond that technical data, like, you need to have that technical data, that understanding, that analysis of that telemetry is critical. But if you want to go and be a little bit more strategic and have a holistic assessment of your entire organization, mm-hmm. and how your organization fits into the grand scheme of things and with your industry, geopolitical events, and threat actors, you should probably want to start doing cyber intelligence so that you could really protect, know what threat actors are after, and start building in security measures to protect what you want to protect. That's why you want it.
Great, thanks. So, you know, a big part of our work here at the SCI is transition into the larger community. So if I'm in that role as, you know, an organizational leader and I need to learn more about cyber intelligence, where should I start? What resources are available to me?
Yeah, again, I would say if you're just new, there's so much online. Obviously, you can read a lot online, and I would encourage people to do that. I would, again, point to our study. This study has been used, it's been cited in many journals, many books, it's been in other curriculums across universities. It's a good way to start because it's written in a language that's easy for many people to understand. It's very, very technical. The other thing I would say is reach out to us, and we can talk to you. We can meet with your organization and talk to you about building some of those foundational blocks to starting your cyber intelligence effort.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. So what's next for you in terms of, you know, continuing the cyber intelligence work? Where do you see this going?
The sky's the limit. I mean, it could go anywhere. You know, off the top of my head, some of the things that I think would be really, really cool is to do some implementation frameworks, right? So the first study had some implementation frameworks on, you know, how do you prioritize a threat? How do you do collection management, build your workforce? For this new study, you know, maybe something like a how-to guide on where to put in ML into your process, right? So that you can start automating those tasks. Another thing that I think would be interesting is to work more individually with the organizations that participate, right? So once we do the study, it gets out there publicly, perhaps we can work with these organizations in a way that is more tailored to their needs and help them build that cyber intel effort that they're looking for. And then the last thing, which I think would be really, really cool to do, is, so this study that we're doing now for the DNI, it's US-based, mm-hmm. right? So the organizations that can participate have to be US-based organizations. So I would love to do a more global study where we get out and hear how other countries, cultures, organizations are performing cyber intelligence, because I'm sure that there's so much that we can learn and bring back to the United States and to our US-based organizations that can help us as well. So that's something I want to do.
That sounds really exciting.
Yeah.
Well, hey, thanks for sitting down to talk to me today. Jared recently authored a blog post about his work on this study, and you can find that at insights.sei.cmu.edu. Click on the Authors tab and search for Jared Ettinger. If your organization is U.S.-based and interested in participating in the cyber intelligence study or learning more, again, please reach out to Jared's team at info.sei.cmu.edu. Please know that we'll provide links to all of the resources we've mentioned today in the transcript for today's podcast. This podcast is available on the SCI website at sci.cmu.edu/podcasts and on Carnegie Mellon University's iTunes channel and the SCI's YouTube channel. As always, if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to email us at info@sci.cmu.edu. Thank you.